You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome to Game of Geeks, where we take a look at the latest events in video, card, and tabletop games.
Yeah, every time I get to play that, it never surprises me any less that Capcom actually let us use that. Hello and welcome, friends, to the Gamer Geeks Podcast, episode number 20, recorded May 28th, 2017. Of course, I am CJ. Joining me, as always, are Raul and Delbert.
Howdy, howdy.
What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Another day in paradise.
Try not to get swept away in the storm that's hitting right now.
The Pokemon storm.
No, I think like a real storm.
I know. We had one of those the other day here.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
Yeah, but don't you guys get rain like every other week or every other day?
During the summer, yeah. We haven't got to that point yet. It usually starts happening like in June, but it's been pretty rainy lately.
And it was weird. Last week, I went outside after the day after the rain. It was super cold, chill. I'm just like, what?
I was like, cold the other morning. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was like that last week. We had a good storm, and then it just like, oh, wow, this is nice.
Yeah, I went out in shorts, and I'm like, God, I'm freaking freezing. What is this madness? So, without further ado, because we have some stuff to talk about, let's break on into the news.
On to the news!
Yes! Yes! So, I didn't take down any notes for news.
All right, well... So the reason why it's so light on news for the past couple of weeks, there's this conference in, what is it, Los Angeles or San Diego?
Las Vegas.
Wait, no?
Yeah, it's not Las Vegas. It's the other Los, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
I thought it was Vegas.
No.
No, not E3. I think GDC. No.
Yes.
Is it GDC?
GDC is in Vegas.
One of the other consumer electronics things is in Vegas. CES, actually.
CES, yeah.
Now that I think about it.
So, yeah. Well, these two can be combined, but Nintendo planned ahead, and they announced their E3 plans first, which is going to be a pre-recorded Nintendo Direct on June 10th. No, wait, sorry. I'm at the wrong part. Yeah, June 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the same thing they did last year, essentially. Yeah.
So that would be what? 10 Central, 11 Eastern?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So talking about that E3, which is probably going to be ARMS.
It's a small thing.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be what they do every year. They're going to have the Nintendo Direct, and they're going to have like 2 or 3 days of actual gameplay from their Nintendo Treehouse.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. So it's probably going to be ARMS, Splatoon, whatever other games that are coming to the Switch.
Fire Emblem.
Pokemon Stars.
Yes. Pokemon Star, yes.
Pokemon Stars. Give me Pokemon Stars! What?
I would buy a Switch immediately as soon as that was announced. That and a Metroid. Oh. So get on it, Nintendo.
Federation already came out, right? For the 3DS?
Yeah, but that's not really a Samus game.
I know it's not a Samus game. Like, a Samus game would be great if they would tell us what the story is.
And not Other M.
Yeah. If they give us more details on the Zelda DLC for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I'll probably give a quick like release date of it. It wouldn't surprise me if they're like, yeah, it'll be available in the States. Congratulations.
Yeah. Probably more JRPGs coming to the Switch.
Yeah, including what was it? There was what was the RPG? Well, the old was it Battle of the Planet? No, frick. One of the old cartoons got announced as a JRPG. We just talked about it on Thursday. Come on, Raul, help me out here.
We talked on Thursday?
Shut up.
Oh.
Battle Planets, maybe.
I am actually going back into the notes and seeing what you wrote.
Hold on, I'm looking up Josh's stuff because he's the one who brought it up to me.
Twin Star Exorcist.
No, Josh mentioned it.
Battle Chasers!
There we go. Yeah, Battle Chasers is getting an RPG. Erpiga.
It's already out on the PS4?
No? Maybe in Japan, I don't know.
Okay. Alright, so
I speak a little Moonspeak, but not much Moonspeak.
Okay, so yeah. Nintendo's going to be on Tuesday, but the pre-E3 conferences. Because actually E3 starts on like, isn't it like that Monday or that Tuesday?
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to get it in front of everyone else. So at the very front is going to be EA on Saturday, June 10th at 12 p.m.
Come get your sports.
Yeah. 10 p.m. And maybe 11. Battlefront. Wait, no.
Yeah, we'll probably get some Star Wars Battlefront news out of that.
EA's not doing the online one. The online Star Wars, right? The Old Republic?
No, they do. Battlefront.
Okay, yeah. We'll probably get more Battlefront stuff. The new round of sports games. Talk about their subscription. All that good stuff.
I mean, I still kind of want that on PS4. Like, I kind of want their EA Access thing on PS4.
Yeah, but Microsoft is paying a lot of money for that.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about Microsoft, that's going to be on Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific. Then later on Sunday night, it's going to be Bethesda, which will probably be... what's the name of that card game?
Gwent.
No.
Gwent is... That's CD Projekt Red. Yeah. That's Witcher.
Oh, okay. Oh, doesn't Bethesda also have one for Elder Scrolls?
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Legends, which is really fun. Like, I really like Elder Scrolls Legends.
Maybe they might surprise us with a Doom 2?
Maybe. Since I don't know. Like, that's one is going to be all X Factors. I have no idea what they would have up their sleeves.
Yeah, I mean, Fallout 4.
Bethesda dropped some big stuff at their last few E3 conferences, so the fact that they're still doing it tells me they got something big up their sleeve.
Yeah, I doubt Elder Scrolls 6, but...
I don't see another Elder Scrolls coming. They might announce that it's finally coming to the Switch.
Yeah, they might give that as a release. They'll give that release date, probably. I don't know if they're going to give that on theirs or on the Switch one, but...
I mean, it is roughly time for them to mention something about Elder Scrolls 6, because 5 has been out for years at this point. Like, what, 5 years?
Yeah, 6 years this year.
And
you'll probably give hey, we're working on the next game in the chamber is Elder Scrolls 6, and then it'll be like 2020 before we get it. But hey,
and they also have that new IP that I've been hearing about randomly. So it's possible they won't mention something about that.
Yeah, like when they dropped Doom, no one was really expecting Doom.
Yeah.
And then because I remember reading something. So far along for it to
Dishonored
come out.
3? Give me Dishonored 3.
Dishonored 3. Right. Dishonored 2 just came out, didn't it?
Yeah,
but still, that's not a game that has like huge following that like Elder Scrolls and Fallout have.
Yeah.
So,
let's see. On Monday, June 12th, 10 a.m., noon. Wait, no, that's going to be like 8 o'clock. They're behind. So, yeah. Noon, 11 o'clock Eastern. PC gaming show, which is actually a new one. It's been going for the past 3-4 years?
Last year was the first PC gaming show.
Was it? I thought it was the year before.
Nope.
Okay. Which, that one will probably get some exclusive announcements from Destiny.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, because it's sponsored by AMD. At least the last one was.
Honestly, I expect any Destiny 2 news to come through the Sony conference.
I don't know.
Just on principle.
With them partnering with... not them partnering with Blizzard, but them using the Blizzard launcher. It might be PC. They might be...
Maybe.
Might be...
They might have a release date.
Not jumping ship from Sony, but just like, hey, we missed out on a huge market on the PC.
Yeah, I don't know if the PC gaming show is that. It's not quite got enough exposure yet. Like I said, last year was the first year they really did it. And I watched a little bit of it, and it was pretty like talk showy-ish.
Yeah. What's nice is that AMD does show off some of their new stuff on it. They showed off some new video cards and all that.
Yeah.
I know Vega is coming out soon. There's a new 12-core processor from AMD that's coming out soon.
Yeah, probably hear a lot about the Ryzen.
Yeah, man, that too. But they're saying that you can just overclock the 1700 and you get the same performance that you would get out of the 1800X. Save yourself 150.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Ubisoft will be also be on Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, which I'm not sure what would be in their corner right now. Announce more DLC for Wildlands. Assassin's Creed.
Wildlands, Assassin's Creed. There was some news the other day about Far Cry 5.
Oh, okay, yeah. Far Cry 5, if we don't get a release date, we're probably just going to see a lot of pre-alpha stuff or alpha stuff.
Oh, it already has a release date. It's February something next year. Oh,
okay, February. So, yeah, we're going to get a lot of...
It's going to be Far Cry 5. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of that.
And with Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed, they skipped last year for this year, so they're going to have something for Assassin's Creed too.
Yeah.
Well.
And next up, also on Monday evening, is Sony, which probably going to go a little bit heavy on VR.
Again, I'm stating they can just come out and say Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out December of 2018. Drop mic, walk off the stage. Everybody will say Sony will win.
Yeah.
That's all they need to say. Just that. Just give a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 and everybody will clamor the fact that Sony won E3.
I
want to see some more stuff from Death Stranding.
Yes.
I want to see what they're doing with that.
That's the joke, is just the Kingdom Hearts joke. But yeah, it's,
I know.
Death Stranding is...
And Kingdom Hearts 3 going to be VR only. No. No.
No, God, no. There's no way they do that. And also, that would be... that would be stomach destroying. The way they bounce around in that game? No. God, no.
And
but then you could look Donald Duck in the face when you punch him in the face.
Yeah, right?
Exciting.
And here's one that... there hasn't been like an announcement for it, but Devolver Digital is actually holding a conference.
I'm sorry, who?
Devolver. Yeah, they made Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, I like that game. That's weird.
It's interesting.
They're having their press conference. That's a little weird.
Yeah,
they took up a good portion of Sony's last year, actually. If I remember correctly, there was a good 15-20 minutes of Sony's conference that was dedicated to Devolver stuff.
Yeah, they've got Hotline Miami, Broforce, Shadow Warrior.
Oh, right. I couldn't remember the name of the company.
Talos Principle.
Actually, those games.
Yeah, but the fact is that it's an indie company that's actually getting a conference. It's probably just going to... Not to sound mean, but... It's probably just going to be like a hotel conference room.
Possibly.
unless it's hosted by Sony.
That could be it.
Yeah, last time we had one of those things, No Man's Sky happened, so...
oh, man. Sony is, like, wiping
I'm still bitter about that! I don't even care!
Yeah, and then, like I said earlier, Tuesday will be Nintendo. So Nintendo announced theirs, and then everyone wanted to put before Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they have a few generation killers. So, and especially they're like, yeah, if they announce Pokemon Stars and give like a solidified what it is, that could be a – that's a generation ruler. That is a massive like system sell everything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, considering how low Xbox has been selling this generation, and sorry, Xbox lovers, the X-Bone is the first real failure of the Xbox line. And it's not just me saying that. I actually enjoy Xbox systems, but it is what it is.
Okay, so for us to actually get a... I don't want to say a better opinion, but... one of us might have to pick up a Xbox.
The numbers speak for themselves, though. I mean, it's as simple as...
Well, sales I have an are, Xbox.
Yeah, it's abysmal sales.
I mean, I like it, but...
Yeah.
The reason why I haven't liked the Xbox since they've upgraded the their panels and all that from the 360 version, it's way too commercial. There's an ad on every freaking slide.
Freaking hipster.
What? No. I. Okay. PlayStation
4. I like the back one. It was cool.
PlayStation 4. Do you see any ads on your home screen?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just me poking at you because it's fun. but yeah, I mean, so. But if they announce Pokemon Stars, the first, like, real Pokemon game for a home console, that is the death knell for the Xbox One.
But Pokemon Stars isn't going to be like a Pokemon Stadium. Whoa, wow.
No, if it's like the... I'm saying if it is actually like Sun and Moon's yellow version.
Which is like what they've been hinting at.
Which is the rumor of it. That is a system killer. That is not only a... That is a death knell. Because that is something people have been wanting for literally 20 years.
Wait. Wasn't there one on the GameCube that was a full Pokemon game?
It was kind of. I mean, it was its own thing. It was a Gale of Darkness or whatever it was, Pokemon XD.
Yeah.
Where you can get your shadow Pokemans. But like, I'm just talking like a flat out, hey, this is exactly the Pokemon game, but upgraded that you have on your 3D on your portable. And Gale of Darkness sold a crap ton of GameCubes when it came out. Like, that game dropped, and it brought a huge boost to that. Between that and Smash, that's what kept the GameCube. That's what still to this day keeps the GameCube in people's high, you know, opinions.
Oh, Smash.
Yeah, and Smash. all right, going down the news. Does Valve own Dota 2?
Now, maybe.
Yeah. Well, because it's a game off of a mod.
Off of Warcraft 3. Yep.
Off of Warcraft 3, Frozen Throne, right?
Yep. It was actually before War. It was on OG Warcraft 3 because I remember playing it back then.
Yeah, so there's two mobile developers, Lithium Games and Ucool, have made clones of Dota 2 for smartphones. And they're just arguing that it's like, well, they don't own the copyright to their characters. Valve pretty much does. I mean, and if you're a mobile developer, you really want to go up against Valve?
Yeah, that's not a game you really... That's not a fight you really want to fight, but...
And you, like, look at their screenshots from the mobile game, and it's like, yeah, those are Dota 2 characters. I mean, if they change them up a little bit... But no, it's just complete, like, almost a copy-paste.
Jeez.
Some would say that Heroes of the Storm is kind of like it, but...
At least it's not the same characters.
Yeah, it's not the same characters, because I believe Dota has a couple of, like, not 100 characters, but a whole lot more characters than the other games do.
Yeah, the only one that comes close is League.
And Heroes of the Storm being new doesn't have anywhere close to that amount.
Also, Blizzard's a little bit more conservative on them releasing characters, so because it's Blizzard. They don't want to release like 15 characters at once. Like sometimes that I see League of Legends news. It's like, oh, they've released a new character pack. 15 new heroes has been released. I'm like, Jesus. How can you keep up?
So what else happened last week? What else has been happening, Delbert?
Well, on the about like 10 days ago, there was a conference, small conference, in Los Angeles for Bungie. They did their gameplay release stuff for Destiny 2. So release date is still September 8th. What they're saying is it's going to be a new beginning for everybody, both new and old, pulling from them, of course. A bunch of changes are coming to it. It, from what I've seen, it looks more like a Destiny 1.5, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to it that should have been in the game from the beginning, but it is changing a bunch. So, first of all, Crucible is going to 4v4 for every mode, so it's pretty awesome. It's going to be a much smaller, more intimate Crucible match. So
what
it's more
did
more
it used
fun.
To be, 6?
What up?
What did it used to be?
Yeah, 6. 6v6 in a lot of the maps, and some of the bigger ones were 8. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Something that should have been in the game from the beginning. Trials of Osiris, Raids, and Nightfalls are finally getting matchmaking.
Wow.
So they're going to be available to all players with something called a guided game system. So basically, clans, which are now going to be inside the game instead of directly through Bungie's website, if they are wanting to do a raid or something, they can... If they don't have enough people, they can still just go to the guided game section and pull in some random people to do their match.
So they're borrowing WoW stuff.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And it's kind of cool. Like I said, they needed that in from the beginning. Having to go to like an LFG site was just incredibly annoying as hell. And then, pretty much. PC version of Destiny will be on Blizzard's Battle.net.
Yeah.
Launcher.
Wait, what?
Rather than Steam.
just as a reminder, Activision owns Blizzard, so yeah.
And continuing and moving on to one of my other news pieces, it will cross control with everything in the Blizzard app, which means while you're in Destiny 2, you can chat with people playing WoW or Diablo 3.
That's cool.
And I'm assuming that if they have Destiny 2, you can just invite them to a game.
That's cool. I like that.
So I'm hoping that's how that works. It's exciting.
Which that means that's why Blizzard wanted to drop the Battle.net name and just call it the Blizzard Launcher.
Correct.
Probably. But that's just it, though. During the Destiny, during this reveal, they called it Battle.net. they didn't call it the Blizzard Launcher. It's Battle.net. Which is interesting. I'm not sure if there's just a, you know, miscommunication on some other ends or what. Weapons are getting changed up instead of the primary, secondary, and heavy slots. There's going to be 3 new slots called kinetic, energy, and power. For what it sounds like, a lot of the secondary weapons like shotguns and snipers and all that good stuff are being shuffled in with the rocket launchers, grenade launchers, stuff like that. So you have to choose what you want more, whereas the kinetic and energy are going to be pretty flexible. It seems interesting. It looks like a lot of fun. Couple new classes. I was watching the trailer, and I think I posted it on Slack for you guys. But there are they showed 3 of them. The first one is the replacement to the Warlock Sunsinger called the Dawnblade. It's going to be a Flaming Sword Warlock, which looks pretty awesome. It looks like it plays close to the Hammer, the Sunbreaker in the Sunbreaker Titan. So you're going to be throwing your sword at everybody.
Which is incredibly fun, by the way. That's what I played in Destiny 1.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun to do. This one made me giggle. It's the Titan Sentinel. It's basically Captain America.
Yes!
You're super. You summon a shield, which you can bash people with or throw at people, which is funny. I love it. It looked great. And then the other one is the Hunter's Arc Strider, which is going to be an electric staff. So I'm hoping there's more of a focus on like a melee Supers, which, you know, a lot of them were pretty overpowered. I'm glad they're getting rid of Sunsinger, because pretty much every solo build, even solo raid you saw, was a Sunsinger cheesing the hell out of it.
As a Dark Knight main, and wow, I don't know what your problem is. Night, sorry.
Yeah, right. There are no more going to orbit. You can launch activities from anywhere in the universe of Destiny 2 without ever going to your orbit, which is going to be amazing.
I like that, because the orbit drove me crazy.
You lost so much time.
Yep.
I understand that they were using it for loading screens, but come on. Ugh.
I mean, you could have had like a communicator or PDA or whatever, and like, okay, I want to go here. Okay,
exactly.
We'll ping you when it's ready.
Yeah, exactly. So we're getting 4 planets at launch. We're going to get Earth back, which we're not going back to the Cosmodrome, but we are going to the European Dead Zone this time.
Cool.
Which was cut from the original game back in the day, so hopefully it's going to be what they wanted it to be. And then we have Titan, Io, and Io. Nessus. Io, Io, whatever. Tomato, tomato. So yeah, it's from what I've been out of those three. The basic story from Destiny 2 is that the tower gets attacked by a group of Cabal, and you're basically scattered to the winds. And from what I've been able to see, each of those planets are going to house one of the Vanguard Guardians. So you're going to have Zavala on one of the three. I'm not really sure exactly which one. Zavala's on the other one, and then Cade is going to be on Nessus.
And he's the only one that matters, because he's Malcolm Reynolds.
Exactly. So that was my favorite thing when he started getting some stuff.
I even originally played a Hunter, and then I was like, I don't really like the way the Hunters play, so I'm just going to play Titan, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. The clan system that I mentioned is going to have in-game rosters, customizable banners, and other things that you can actually do within the game. So no more having to run your clan off of Bungie.com, but no more having to go there to do it. It's all going to be in-game now, which is going to be make it a lot easier for people who are actually looking for stuff. I'm sure it's probably going to be something similar to the Diablo 3 clan system.
Probably.
Considering there's going to be that crossover between the two areas. What else is there? But yeah, like I said, it does feel a lot like a Destiny 1.5 from what I've seen so far, but I'm still excited. I love Destiny 1.
I wonder what the players are going to get that raise the character max level in Destiny 1. Because they have to be getting something, right?
Get your name.
Yeah. They haven't announced anything about pulling characters from their console games, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be something where you can pull in your character's appearance from presumably Bungie.net, and then you get like a shader or something cool for it.
Yeah, because they kind of do need to give something to those people who spent unknown hours farming and playing.
600 here.
Well,
and that's on the low end of it.
Say that, however, Guild Wars 2 basically gave you your name. Final Fantasy XI gave you your name. A lot of games that do this don't give you anything other than just a little bit of a, hey, just remember you get to have that legacy that you created. So, I mean, they don't have to give you anything, and considering it's Activision running this, don't expect a lot.
Yeah, obviously nothing game-breaking. It's all going to be cosmetic if you get anything other than your name.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, is people become attached to their characters' names. So yeah, it won't surprise me if they give you your name if you transfer over your character.
Yeah, I mean, like something like veteran or something like that, or like some kind of cosmetic, like...
Yeah.
Like I be Krona or something like that.
Hero of the Tower or something.
Yeah, you might get a title. Maybe depending on how that works. Yeah, you're not gonna get.
But yes. Yeah, nothing crazy. It's Activision. I can give much. So yeah, moving on with the PC version info. Unfortunately, a little caveat to this is that the PC version is coming out later than the consoles.
Ugh.
Which is slightly annoying, but it's probably just trying to get it linked up with Blizzard properly.
Most likely. Probably matching up with like the Battle.net or Blizzard launcher big release or something like that.
Exactly. But it also is going to have an uncapped frame rate, so full 60 frames, full mouse and keyboard support with the ability to remap everything, which obviously text chat, adjustable field of view, standard PC settings, and 4K resolution support.
Wow.
That's it can be in 4K. It's going to be pretty awesome. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And lastly, because of the connection to Blizzard, the in-game value of WoW tokens jumped to a record high this week because of that information.
Yeah, because, they'll probably have something to do with it.
Yeah, so for those who aren't 100% familiar, for a while, WoW tokens could only be used to buy and sell game time for a WoW. But they originally changed, in February this year, Blizzard changed how the tokens function, allowing them to redeem them for $15 in the Blizzard Launcher credit. Which means that if you buy up 5 or 6 of these, you can buy Destiny for free.
Yeah.
And if you're ridiculously rich in WoW, that's going to be super, super easy to do.
How many I have from my old account? Like, I had more than a few.
Yeah. So it's looking like, as of May 21st, the price for North American Realms was 117,000 gold for one single token.
And that's for $15, right? That's for a $15 credit. Oh.
Yeah.
Or 30 days of gameplay.
Which, pretty much.
If you know how to play the auction house, sell the right mats, you can do it.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to do if you know what you're doing. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who play WoW who literally have no idea how to gem their stuff or do anything with their gear.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine. He doesn't play WoW anymore, but when he did, he was a monster in the freaking auction house.
Mm-hmm.
Also helped that he did. Yeah, he was really good in math, and he worked payroll. All the number stuff where he used to work. So yeah, he was able to like, oh yeah, I'll put this up there and it'll sell in a couple minutes. I'll get my gold and I'll go farming, because he would stay up late and he would just farm all night long, completely clean out a whole area.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're good at the game, I mean, I know guys who could pull in 200, 300K in like 4 hours.
Yeah, I used to be able to do that when I had time.
Yeah, exactly. It's not easy to do.
There was a time that I was accused of being a Chinese person.
Really?
Yeah, I was actually reported for being an RMT for a while, and I'm like, no, I am a legitimate person. This is just how I am enjoying playing this game.
What were you doing?
Farming the ever living shit out of that desert area, the Egyptian area.
Oldham.
Oldham, yeah.
Oldham. Because there was a circuit in there that was abusable as F. And, I just did that for hours upon hours upon hours. And depression at the time. So I just kept doing it. So I kept getting, like... eventually, I got to know one of the GMs that they would message me. We just got another report for you. You might want to log off for a little bit. All right, fine.
That's awesome.
That was a little ridiculous that I was like, all right, apparently I piss people off enough to think that I'm an RMT. That's awesome.
I'm a robot.
I'm a robot. No, I'm just having bad insomnia and depression. So, you know, essentially a robot.
All right. Here's a current news. Overwatch Anniversary Edition, Game of the Year.
You want your Overwatch, you can get it now for the cheap.
CJ, you're starting to cut out a bit.
Yep. Better?
Yeah. Okay. So, what does the Game of the Year version of Overwatch get you? You get...
cheap.
Yes. 10 bonus loot boxes, Overwatch hero skins, Blackwater Reyes, Striker Metamoris, other hero origins, Overgrown Bastion, Security Chief Pharah, and Sip Screen Tracer, which is pretty much the the original, was it the deluxe version that came with all that?
Yeah.
You get Tracer in Heroes of the Storm. You get Baby Winston in World of Warcraft. Mercy's Wings in Diablo 3. And the in-game portrait and the card back for StarCraft 2 and Hearthstone.
Nifty.
And the video that they have is so great. It's just like, thank you for making this game so great.
Yeah, these guys obviously love their fans. Like,
they listen to their fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one thing that's just absolutely I love about this game. And also, I mean, I can't state this. How much is the Game of the Year edition, Raul?
I believe it's like $29.
Yeah, it is. It is super freaking cheap right now, you guys. So if you've not picked it up because you're like, oh, I don't want to get a half-done game for $30. No, you get all of the things. You get the Origin Edition and more for this. So, and if you have the game and want the Game of the Year Edition, it's only $10.
My bad. The Standard Edition is $29.99. The Game of the Year is $39.99, but it's still cheaper.
Yeah, it was Game of the Year was or the what was it deluxe? I think it was $60.
Yes,
I know. Yeah, so you're getting that for discounted. If you want the real one, the full game, yeah, and super cheap. And I think it's $10 to upgrade to the Game of the Year digital.
If you have
the game already, which I'm probably gonna do. I'm not gonna lie, that's some yeah.
Maybe I'll pick it up.
It's worth it, dude. I mean, obviously, Raul and I like it enough to be like, we should play a different game every month. Let's play Overwatch.
It's a really good game. And the fact that as soon as you buy it, you get, well, except for cosmetics, but you get all the new maps. There's no fragmentation on maps. You get all the new heroes that come out.
Everybody is on an even playing field. Like any of the cosmetic stuff, any of the loot boxes are all cosmetic. You don't have to deal with like perks that other people don't have. This is literally the only first person shooter that I have ever liked.
and they did add a few more things. 3v3. It's now 3v3 elimination lockout.
That's a good mode. It's really good.
Which, what it is, it's your regular 3v3, but whenever one side wins, those heroes that they won with get locked out for that entire team, and they got to choose three new ones.
That was frustrating, because I didn't realize what it was, and then I'm like, all right, cool, I'm going to pick my best person. Let's rock and roll with D.Va. Wait, why did I win, and now I can't use D.Va?
And they have pretty much removed draws, because... There would be some times where like a Symmetra, if that's the last one, she would hold up in her base with all her turrets. But now when it comes to that end time, like the last thing, like 20, 30 seconds, a capture the point shows up in the middle of the map. First team to capture it wins.
Yeah, that's killer. Like, that's a really good feature too.
Oh,
awesome.
And I started playing Winston. He is mean in 3v3s.
Delbert, pick it up, seriously. You instead of buying Diablo 3 for like a sixth time or whatever you're planning on doing.
Why is he going to buy it for a sixth time?
Because it's Delbert, and that's what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, did they announce a price for the Necromancer yet?
I haven't seen anything yet, no.
Oh, okay.
That's just me joking. I think you've bought it, what, three times legitimately?
I think I got it twice.
Okay.
But I got the base game on PC for free. I bought the Ultimate Evil Edition for PS4. And then I bought Reaper of Souls.
Oh, and if you're listening to this live, you can go check out the free weekend, which will end tomorrow at midnight.
Yeah, I was actually kind of tempted to be like, hey, Delbert, let's play Overwatch this week. I didn't, but I wanted to.
So, yeah.
Maybe I'll pick it up this week.
More excuses to play Overwatch, basically, and more people to play Overwatch with, because it's so good.
Overwatch.
It's good by yourself, but, man, when you get to play with a group, it is one of my favorite games that I've ever played.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the lockout, because you don't get crammed by, like, say, Pharah, Mercy, and Ana. or Widowmaker.
Also, you got some really cool skins right now on the anniversary stuff that's going on. I got the Lucio, like, awesome.
I want the Graffiti Tracer.
Yeah, Graffiti Tracer's cool. You get, like, an old-school Betty Page-style diva, if you're into that whole kind of thing. it's such a good game. Like, legitimately, and this is hard for me to say for a first-person shooter, but probably one of my favorite games that I've ever played.
All right, that seems to be it for the news, CJ.
All right, so we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the reviews. And welcome back. If you want an ad-free experience, make sure you tune in live Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern, over at geek-io.net/live or twitch.tv/geekioshow. Give us a follow on there, and you will be notified whenever we go live. All of our stuff is there. So, without further ado, let us do some science. Science reviews. Playing. There's no way they'd do that. Also, that would be some Nuzlocke updates. I beat Pokemon X Nuzlocke with Mega Venusaur. Soloed the champion with Mega Venusaur.
Killing it.
I was down to that last one. I'm like, you know what? F it. I'm not gonna retreat. I'm gonna just do this thing. Hit Mega Form. I'm like, yeah, this that Psychic is gonna rip the crap out of me. Oh wait, that Psychic is also Fairy.
Yeah. Wiggle the cable, CJ.
Wiggle.
Yeah, we're still getting a lot of static on that.
Whoa. Yeah. I thought that was my end for a second.
How about now?
We're still hearing it. Do you have your aux cable plugged in?
I have everything plugged in as always, Raul!
Well, you gotta unplug it for when on the show when it's not plugged into the iPad.
No, it's just that's just another input, dude. How about now?
Yes.
All right. We did it. So, F Pokemon X, beat it. Now I'm doing Alpha Sapphire. I got the Fire Chicken, which is the best starter to get in Sapphire. Generation 3 is best generation. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just kind of going through there right now. I've not had a ton of deaths, actually. Could be because I am most well-versed with this generation. I've had Alpha Sapphire since it launched, and I never actually played it. So, you know.
Get out.
I'm all the way up to beat Kyogre. And I'm getting ready to take on the Elite Four. Like, this is actually, as much as I'm enjoying Alpha Sapphire, the Nuzlocke is not a challenge on this one because I know this generation. I know what I'm going to be facing.
Wonderlock. So wait,
are you able to capture the legendaries with a Nuzlocke?
Yeah, I mean, my rule is basically as long as I don't capture anything else in that area, if I happen to capture a legendary, I'm going to use the legendary.
Let's see, Alpha Sapphire. Okay, no. It was Gold and Silver that had the legendary dogs that would just pop out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. So, Kyogre is in the Cave of Origin, which does not have anything else to pop in it. So, and you get Latias or Latios, depending on what version you're using. I mean, your Nuzlocke, your rules. Basically, if that's my one Pokemon, I'm going to use it if it happens to meet a requirement that I need. Like Latias really fit that, hey, I need a psychic type. So, Kyogre is not as useful because I have water types. So, I mean, I'm using it, but basically it's my electric type. I gave it thunder because, hey, it rains all the time.
Nailed it.
So on to other games. I'm probably not going to continue on with that one because I'm gonna beat Alpha Sapphire before we play, before we record next. And I have Soul Silver, I think it is, which will be a little bit more difficult, but I don't know. Next week I'm going to be picking up Fire Emblem, so that might be taking what that might be what's taking up my 3DS time instead of Nuzlocke. Now onto some reviews from actual reviews. Has-Been Hero. Those who don't know, it is a roguelike RPG, and it is a story about some old retired heroes that saved the realm from many, many, many things, but that was decades and decades ago. Now the king has gotten older and his daughters need to go to school, so who does he hire to escort them to school? The Has-Been Heroes. And then shenanigans ensue because, well, yeah, and it's hard because it's a roguelike. The controls are a little bit hard to get adjusted to right off the rip, and they don't give you a lot of explanation on it. It's just a lot of fun. It is more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I haven't even finished the first area yet because I keep dying because one of the skeletons explodes when they hit you, and that kills your people, and that sucks. And then you start over because roguelike.
I love
and hate roguelikes at the same time. Like, I love the challenge and I love the like idea behind them, but sometimes the beating your face against a wall over and over and over again and hoping you get through is a little repetitive.
Well, on the topic of roguelikes, I believe Binding of Isaac, the second one, added seeds where you could just copy the same seed and just go through that version, and it just takes the mystery out of what you're going to get.
That would be an interesting feature to have, but Has-Been Heroes doesn't do this. This is a very, very, like, by-the-books roguelike, just with RPG elements. Well, not RPG elements. It's an RPG. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 because I'm really liking it. It's only $20, and, like, if you like roguelikes, this is worth a check out. It's really, really, really good. If you don't like roguelikes or only have a passing desire to play roguelikes, this might be a pass for you. I like roguelikes and I like RPGs, so I picked this up and I don't regret it. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to skip over that one until Raul talks about it because I've already reviewed that game. next game up. Hey guys, you remember in, what was it, 2015, I think it was, when this game came out, when Bloodborne was all the rage for the PS4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just picked it up because it was on sale.
How far have you gotten?
I just beat Father Gurgle, whatever the hell his name is, the first real boss. I haven't taken on the giant pig boss yet because he killed me once already. I'm like, what is this thing? Beware of giant beast. Oh, God. That's what they're... never mind. So, speaking of dying over and over again and beating your head against a wall, I hated the Dark Souls games. Hated the Dark Souls games. This was on sale, and it's like, oh, this is one of the best games on PS4. Yada, 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 yada. I'm like, you know what? It's worth a pick. I've wanted to play it. I owned it for a while and never put it in the system. So to a point where I'm like, I've never played this. I'm going to trade it in. I have my beautiful girl, Lenore, and she is a dexterity, whatever the dexterity skill, I think it is. And she's literally whipping the crap out of weird zombie, werewolf, vampire people. And it's a lot of fun, but again, I go back to beating your head against the wall over and over again. Not exactly, you know, fun all the time. I literally, just before we started recording this, just discovered how to stun kill things. So that actually made things a lot easier and a lot more fun because I'm like, hey, I can shoot that dude in the face and then stab him. That's fun. So right now, I'm going to give it, again, a 3 out of 5 because, I mean, it's fun. It's really good. Just the difficulty is real. Next up, I'm going to talk about, speaking of games, from old to new, I bought Injustice 2. PS4. Oh my god, you guys, this game is really freaking rad. It's from the Mortal Kombat developers. Anybody who didn't play Injustice 1, Superman is evil, Wonder Woman is evil, Batman is the only thing good and pure in the world.
Quite as always.
Yeah, that's a little tiring, and that's what I'm gonna kind of rant about in this one. Hey, Batman is Batman, and Batman's gonna do all the things, and Batman this, and Batman that, and oh, god, fine, I get it. People who make Mortal Kombat, whose name I can't remember, you love the Batwang. I get it.
However,
you have a massive roster, and that massive roster has a lot of really good characters in it. You don't always need to be up on the bat junk. Back off of the bat junk. It's all right. There are other characters in DC other than Batman.
Who?
No.
They did put the secondary main character is Supergirl, which Supergirl is rad in this game. She is really cool because she's actually good and, you know, bringing hope and everything like that. And she beats the ever-living crap out of Clark, which is great to watch. the storyline is freaking amazing. I'm not going to spoil anything other than as Supergirl shows up and punches Clark a couple times. And they're all up on Batman's junk because it's Batman. The versus mode is exactly what you want it to be. It is just you.
Oh, you cut out there.
It's just beating the ever living bejesus out of each other with your favorite DC players. And that is exactly what I wanted. So I'm going to give Injustice 2 a 4 out of 5. Holy crap, this game is good. Now, I'm not going to talk about that one because Raul and I are going to have other difficulties on that one as well. So, Raul and I tested at the ARMS Global Test Punch.
Yes.
This weekend. I love the ever-living crap out of ARMS asterisk.
Oh.
What is that? I took away the punching controls and put them on the Puppy Con.
Yes.
And once I did that, this game became fun as hell.
Yes, it did.
The motion controls, as with most of the games on the Switch, are shoddy at best. Especially if you don't have your Switch right in front of your screen, like I don't. So, sometimes it's not responsive. I'm like, I'm defending. Why aren't I defending? Stop not defending. Put it on the Puppy Con and / Pro Controller when I get one. And yeah, this game was a blast. I played all of the characters, and I like all of the modes except for that stupid volleyball mode. 1v1v1v1 is a freaking blast. Like, it is so good. It's a madhouse. Just everybody going after each other. The 2v2 is great too, because you're tethered to your teammate. You can't go too far away from them. I didn't know that until I'm like, all right, cool. You go that way. You're going that way. I'm going to go this way. Oh, crap. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. It needs a little bit of work. But when it comes out next month, I'm definitely picking it up. All right, Raul. So other than the two games that we're talking together.
Okay. Your audio is going really staticky. I'm not the only one that's hearing this, right? I'm not going crazy, right?
No. I actually thought it was mine because my headphones are sometimes stupid.
Yes, you're going crazy.
Okay. All right. So let's jump in right on the top. Let's start with Magikarp Jump.
F this game.
Why?
It's dumb.
It is so the dumb. Biggest. pile of time waster, and it is great.
Crap. It is crap. It is magic crap, and that is all that there is to do.
It is Pokemon.
I mean, crap is a time waster, too.
It is Magikarp. It is not Pokemon. It is Magikarp and Pidgeotto claws. That's the only redeeming benefit is you can kill Magikarps. Yay, killing Magikarps.
So what it is, you pretty much, you can max out, say, when you first start, you can only get up to, I believe, level 10 or 11 Magikarp. Once you get as far as you can with that, the Magikarp retires, and you gotta go catch a new one that you can level up to a higher level. But as your trainer level goes up, the more higher level Magikarp you can get, and you get to battle them in a Magikarp jump. Because that's the only thing Magikarp can do. Jump and tackle.
Yep.
So you train it. It's random between two trainings, which is the punching bag and the jump counter, which you can go into the store and make it more difficult. The food give you more of a boost that drops into your pond. All this little just time waster. And you can spend real money on it to make it faster.
Don't do that. You do not spend real money on this piece of crap, dude.
What's that? I can't hear you, CJ. Okay, all right. We're on next. Magikarp jump from me gets a 3 out of 5.
1 out of 5.
Ouch. All right. Now let's get rid. Let's go after the game. Disgaea 5 for the Switch.
Yeah, boy.
Disgaea 5 complete.
Yeah.
Which gives you all the DLC from the first one, plus it gives you $1 million bump right off the bat.
Yep. All right. I have to give a little bit of disclosure on this one. This is the second time that I've gotten a review code from Nipponichi about this game. The first one is literally the reason why I bought a PS4.
Ah. So, yeah.
Because I want to give it over.
Yes. I also received a free code for Disgaea 5 on the Switch. And, I think the Switch is the perfect console for this game.
God, yes. Like, I loved it on the PS4.
Because, I mean, it's you can treat it like a mobile game. You can put it out like, okay, I'm going to go do this previous chapter just so I can do some training to raise up one of my characters or something. And I don't know if I missed it or somewhere, but you can only have 10 characters out on the field?
Yeah, they give you that during the tutorial missions.
Okay. Probably missed it. The team attacks. It's like, on the surface, it just seems like a regular tactics game. A tactics-like game. But when you get more in-depth into it, it is so much more.
Oh, yeah. Especially this one. They added a lot to this one from the previous editions where, like, you have a lot more to do with your characters. You have a lot more skills that you can develop. You have a lot more you can work with.
Whoa. Okay, go ahead.
You have a lot more you can work with. You have a lot more to do with your character. A lot more customization that you can do. And, like, they added so much from even Disgaea 4 to this. And for those who are wondering, oh, do I need to know a storyline? No, you don't.
Basically like a Persona game.
Yeah, exactly. Each of the Disgaea games are attached separately. You have the DLC characters. They kind of tell you what their deal is, and then that's it. But that's the only connecting thread.
Okay.
You get a lot of, Easter eggs throughout it, but...
Yeah. But nothing ever required.
Oh, you might have to reset your cable. All right, next game that I have is,
We didn't give a rating.
Oh, okay. For me, Disgaea 5 on the Switch gets a 4 out of 5 from me. I am still playing it. I think I'm like in Chapter 3 or Episode 3. But I think I've gotten to that point where I need to go back and train my characters up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this is a nigh-perfect game. Like, I freaking love Disgaea games, and this is the culmination of everything that I love about Disgaea games. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. If I could give it more, I would.
Okay, so, okay, let me jump to a mobile game before I end with my favorite game. Zombie Gunship Survival on iOS.
All right.
Okay, I got this game because I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this Zombie Gunship Survivor is sponsoring this episode, and it was like, oh, let's see how far a bullet will go through. I think it was like wood or something like that. But yeah, so I download this game, and it's like you are in a pretty much in which one was it? It was in one of the Call of Duties. I believe it was either the first one, the one where you're in a C920. No, not a C920. That's the camera. C-113, which is pretty much a gunship. And you're pretty much circling around in a single area, and you're using a Gatling gun, a cannon, and you're pretty much protecting your soldiers on the ground, collecting resources for you from the zombies. And you're in this infrared camera kind of mode. And yeah, it is well made, because every time you shoot the cannon, the vibration actually feels, it's not just like a random vibration. It's like every bullet is registering a vibration on the motor.
Interesting.
And it's your basic, like, okay, complete this mission. You get a crate. Do you want to unlock it now? Yes. It'll unlock in 5 minutes. Do you want to rush it for 3 gold? Or like, oh, this is going to take 5 hours, or you can rush it for 10 gold, which you can get most of the in-game currency through the game.
Well, that's good.
Which is a mark of a good mobile game.
Yes. So yeah, you can upgrade your plane, upgrade the guns. As you progress through the games, you get more soldiers to go into the buildings. You can equip certain guns to them. Out of the crates, you get either guns for your ship, resources, duplicate weapons, which you can scrap to boost your current weapons, or just swap out and just use the more powerful ones. You do have a defend, where you have to defend your base. So it's kind of like a base building, but you just defend your base for like a minute and a half from a zombie horde during the evening. So yeah,
almost sounds like you were gonna say an hour there. That would have sucked.
No,
sitting there defending it on your phone for an hour.
Yeah, no, but I really like it because I really enjoyed that level where you're just in the freaking in the air, and you're just like raining down death. They do have some limiting factors on the machine gun. It does overheat, so you got to be careful with that. The cannon has limited ammo, but it's an AOE attack, an AOE cannon. And I just unlocked a sniper cannon, which you have to hold it down, and it'll zoom in to one particular target, and you can just obliterate it. But it does take time to reload.
So would you say that you love the cannon? This is a very important question.
That I love what?
You love the cannons?
Yes, I love the cannons.
Bitches love cannons.
You might want to bring your volume up, CJ. It's really low.
Also, I wasn't talking that loud into the microphone.
Okay. All right. So, Zombie Gunship Survival freemium game is getting a 3 out of 5. Let me... I want to give credit to these developers real quick. Ugh. If I could get into
that. What you think about doing after you start talking.
I know. This is by Flare Games. You can get it on the iOS and also on the Google Play Store.
There you go.
All right. This game, which you guys have always been giving me static over. The Dishwasher Vampire Smile.
Sure. Let us have it.
It's by Ska Studios, the same one that did Charlie Murder, the Dishwasher Samurai, and also Salt and Sanctuary, which is your 2D Dark Souls. So this is a 2D platformer hack and slash game with, I guess you do get to power up your weapons. You have two characters. You can either go as Yuki, who is normally faster, or you can go as the Dishwasher, who is a powerhouse. But yeah, I really enjoy this game. I took me about 3 hours to beat it on stream. And it's just, you just jump into the game and you're just like, you're tearing things apart. It is not a very, I want to say beautiful game, but in a way it is, because the art style is kind of like a grungy kind of, it's black and white, black and gray, really. The only parts that have color are like the blood. There are certain enemies with glowing green eyes and all that, and it's like a very gory and visceral game. One of the bosses is a collection of dead bodies, of rotten dead cyborg bodies.
Fun.
Yeah. And it is kind of... there was one boss that I hate because it is just like such a random... It's super fast and it's so random on what ability it's going to use next. So that one's fun. But yeah, you have like, once you do enough damage to an enemy, you get to do a special coup de grace, pretty much, where you can either slice them in half or jump on them and just like rip their throat out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a very, awesome. Very violent game. But yeah, I played this back when it was on the 360, and I was actually tempted to buy a 360 just to play this game, as well as Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, but we'll see if that will ever come to PC. So yeah, Dishwasher Vampire Smile gets a 5 out of 5 from me. Oh, sure. Something else. It does have a boss mode, a horde mode, multiplayer, which I still have to try out. They have, I believe, you, if you die like, I think it's like 3 or 4 times, you get princess mode, which pretty much what it is, you've got hearts coming out, pink hearts coming out of everywhere, and you're just constantly regenerating health.
So it's kind of like the original, like the guy re-release, where you, if you died a bunch of times, you got Ninja Dog mode, and they would just call you Ninja Dog through the entire time.
Yeah.
That was great, by the way. I love that.
So, yeah, it's up on Steam for $10 right now. I'm thinking about getting Salt and Sanctuary, but I don't know. Dark Souls really turns me off for some reason.
Yeah.
Because it's the fact that from bonfire to bonfire, it's like if you die anywhere between that, you lose all that progress. You gotta redo all that over.
You can recollect it, but yeah, that's the one thing that kind of frustrates me about Bloodborne too, because they are not very lenient with the torches.
Yeah, but it does remind you of old school Nintendo. You still have your skill, but you don't have your equipment, or not your equipment. You don't have the, because the only thing you lose is your souls, right?
Yeah, you don't lose any of your equipment, you don't lose any of your skills, you don't level down or anything like that. You lose your currency, which is your experience, your gold, and everything like that. That's what your souls are. It is your everything else.
So pretty much like how it was in the old Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Except without losing levels.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that happening. Like, you would be in an RPG, it's like, oh yeah, I haven't saved in a while. Boom, you die and you go back to your last save. Some games would actually save it. I think Final Fantasy VI would save it.
Yeah, well, Final Fantasy VI, yeah, no, that never had any kind of, like, if you died, you went back to your last save point. It was as simple as that.
Really, was it?
Huh. Yep.
I thought...
You didn't get that kind of thing until much later in RPGs. That's a modern thing. That is a, like, PS2 era up level thing.
Okay, where it would save your level progression, but not your story progression.
Yeah, basically before that you got shot back to your last save point and it was your last save.
Yeah, which some of the older games it was like only in the save spot, but then later on you could save in the field.
Yeah. Just makes you really really value the save places.
Which I think Kingdom Hearts does that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but if you die, it's very much so. Again, you keep your experience, or you can just continue on with what you're doing. You could retry the fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's the same thing with Persona, isn't it?
Try to remember the one time that I've died on hard mode.
Oh. All right. Well, yeah, that's it for me. Dishwasher, Disgaea, Magikarp Jump, and Zombie Gunship Survival.
F Magikarp Jump.
It's been a long week.
Long live Magikarp.
Yeah, and then the old joke of from S4 is going to come back and haunt me. Oh, CJ just doesn't like silly fun. You're right, I don't. I want some kind of substance. My time is valuable, damn it. All right, Delbert. Speaking of jumping batwangs, what do you got for us?
I've just been doing a lot more Diablo. I started a season 10 character.
Diablo.
Pretty much. Well, a friend of mine runs a clan, and I never really got too into Diablo because I was playing alone. So I'm like, be fun. I mean, my channel is getting a lot of Diablo hype, apparently. So,
hey.
I mean, on my Andromeda uploads on my channel, I got like maybe 10 views across 7 videos. And last count, I'm up to 180 views across 4 for my Necromancer playthrough.
There you go.
Everyone wanted to see that Necromancer.
Exactly. So I'm just like, Diablo is doing really good right now for me, so I'm just going to get back into Diablo for a little while.
Oh, I guess we lost Delbert.
Yeah, okay. well, if he doesn't come back...
He hates me.
Diablo. Chrome has been killing me all day. Diablo. Well, then. I like his facepalm that he gave right before he got out.
Yeah, my Chrome has been doing that to me all day.
Jeez. Anything else you've been playing that you're not reviewing right now, Ro?
Overwatch. let's see. I've been playing Overwatch. Been watching.
Now I can't hear Raul. Oh, what's going on?
What? I'm still here. Why can't you hear me?
He broke his entire system.
Everything is breaking.
Yeah, his entire system is broken.
It's done. It's over. But yeah, so
all
I started
right,
doing
so,
the.
I'm just gonna go ahead and wrap up the show then, because
yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Everything else is broken. All right, so of course you can reach us via email at geekioshow@gmail.com. Make sure you put Gamer Geeks in the subject line. Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias are /geekioshow. Our geek hotline where you can leave us a voicemail 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-geek. You could support this show and every show on the Geek.io network over at patreon.com/geek.io. Make sure you tune into us live. This show Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/geek.io show. All of our live shows are there. Just give us a follow and you will be notified of when we're going live. Monday's worst small screen spoiler show. It's on hiatus for the summer, but Rachel and I are going to be doing some streaming from the geek couch. So got some Bloodborne drinking games coming up. You got some we haven't played the Final Fantasy 15 DLC. Go probably tomorrow night. Memorializing that Tats and Abs. But on that note, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Later.
Good game, as I like to say on this show.
GG.
Good.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.